Johnny Lake.
I should hug you one minute. You may get old, but you don't get dead. My name's Johnny. I'm still an alcoholic. Well, I'm going to read you the question if I understand it. How does one develop a better relationship with a higher power? Well, that depends on which higher power. And where it is, what you think it is. My personal opinion of it is that there's a God, and I know there's a God, and I'm not it. That's my own personal opinion. And the way that I believe that you develop a better relationship with a higher power is to stay small. I think the thing that I learned from Mr. Chamberlain was the thing that separates me from me, me from you, and me from God
is the human ego.
I want, I need, I gotta have. One of the sad things about that I find out with some of the people that I sponsor is that it's amazing what their higher power is if you watch them. If you sit around an Alcoholics Anonymous long enough and watch, you will see what people worship here. What they say their higher power is not exactly what the higher power is. The higher power is not a wife or a husband or children or money or property or prestige. But a lot of people, from time to time, me included, have let those things seep in and become the things that I worship and try to hang on to tighter than anything else. And I still believe the best development of a relationship with a power greater than yourself is what I said before, is what that old man told me. It was written by a renegade priest by the name of Meister Eichert in the 14th century. And he wrote this. God absorbs the vacuum, but God absorbs the vacuum even more under heaven and earth. And if you would empty yourself of self, you would be automatically put on. And I can't think of a better way for us, members of Alcoholics Anonymous, we've got a working place for us to do that. I mean, God, we can make coffee, we can set up a chair, we can stand and shake hands with newcomers, we can search out the newcomers when we see them and ask for them. We could, you know, we could go thank the speaker whether we like them or not. We can do most anything. But we can do a lot of things to get out of ourselves. We could, the most important thing we can do is sit still and pay attention and not disturb the people sitting next to you, which is common courtesy. That's the best way that I have been to able to develop my presence of a power greater than myself, because it's with me in sitting in meetings. It's with me all the time. But I'm not aware of it as much as when I'm lost from it or separated from it. When I'm edgier, ego-driven, or I want, I need. But sitting in meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous, conditioned to listen to what goes on here and pay attention, to be concerned about the person sitting next to me, that if I don't want to hear, maybe they do, has been the way I have developed. That's what my sponsor taught me by yelling at me, telling me to shut up. He was introduced me to a power greater than myself. I didn't know that. Go right back to sponsorship again. What does it mean? I would have to throw several lifelong conceptions out the window mean. Bill's story in respect to a power greater than herself. I think I might have just explained a lot of that. A lot of lifelong conceptions out the window mean. People, places, and things. what I've learned, what was one of my lifelong conceptions about a power greater than myself, going out the window, was this. When I was a child, my grandmother told me that God punished little boys who were bad. And when I went to church with my grandmother, I didn't get the same thing out of church my grandmother got out of it, so I just thought that God didn't like me either. And I thought there was a punishing God, and I thought there was a God who rewarded some people and punished others. And I thought that there was a God who just didn't like people like me. He kept track of everything that I did. Those were lifelong conceptions. And I believed that God hated me, so I hated him back. And what I've learned in Alcoholics Anonymous, the lifelong conception that I threw out the door, is a kind and a loving God who neither favors me or idolizes me above anybody else. The God that I understand today is not a God who thinks that I am special just because I was lucky enough to stumble into a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. The God of my understanding is not that way. I think it would be highly egotistical to believe that there is a God in the world who would favor me over anybody out there in the world that didn't get sober. Because I'm the lucky deal. I wandered into a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous and got sober, and that made me one of God's favorites. I couldn't believe in that God when I was a child. Is that money or question? Maybe we'll just go to eight. These questions. I've got a lot of answers for questions that nobody's even asked yet. I'm just waiting to get into those. But that's basically what I mean. The concept is like, I'll tell you some of the hardest things that I've ever seen people do, and I'm not taking a shot at nothing, but one of the hardest things I've ever seen do, I've seen a lot of people who were raised dogmatically in the Catholic religion have a tough time here, a real tough time here with that thou shalt not do this stuff, and a God of punishment and retribution and all that favoritism crap. I don't believe in a God like that. Because there isn't any way in the world that a God like that would allow a guy like me to operate. See, I've been burned a long time ago. I knew this was going to come up. What are your thoughts on moratorium? What the hell is moratorium? Anybody? You know what that is, Sheila? What is it? Oh, I know. I know what the rest of it means. I just ups and ups from something. There's a little hyphen in here, and then there's some more to this question. Abstaining from relations with the opposite sex. For sponsorees, and newcomers, etc. Well, I personally am not the arbitrator of anybody's sex life. Personally, I tell the people I sponsor, if you girls want to cover your ears, you can do that. I tell them very simply that if they could have a relationship with somebody, and it ain't a pure selfish mortification. And if they're just going to have a pure selfish relationship with a human being, go out and hire a hooker. That way they don't screw up anybody in Alcoholics Anonymous but themselves. That's my own personal belief. I don't know whether it's right or wrong. And I'm not ready to debate it with anybody one way or the other. That's just the way I see it. I don't think that we have the right to do anything more than make suggestions. Based on our experience, we can see these things happening, and we say, based on our experience, maybe you shouldn't do this. But you got to remember that if you do it, you're the one who's going to pay the piper. I mean, the person that's telling me ain't going to do it. You know, I mean, it's a matter of life and death. It's your life. I think one of the greatest things a person, a human being, can have, really, and I think it's one of the most natural things in the world for a human being to have, is for a male-female relationship in love, grounded with the power greater than yourself. But I think, basically, what happens to a lot of us is this. I think we get the cart in front of the horse. I think what we should have, basically, is a mental, an emotional, and a spiritual relationship. Then the physical relationship is just an automatic thing, and it's beautiful. I have one. But if I do it backwards, If I just have a physical relationship without the other three ingredients, all I have is a physical relationship. Sooner or later, I get tired. Sooner or later, I don't feel good. So it's not just about, I don't think that the sponsor talks to the sponsees when they talk about moratoriums or whatever they tell them. I don't think it's basically that you're putting a moratorium on any type of physical relationship from one human being to another. I think it's just like be on guard and be careful. Now try to do anything that you can do, but try to do it in an unselfish manner. You know, that's the way I look at it. And I don't know whether it's right or wrong, but if I'm going to be involved in anything like that, I would like to do it in an unselfish manner, not just for my self-gratification. I don't know whether that makes any sense to you or not, but that's what I think about it. This is not a school for postgraduate human behavior. I'm sorry. I mean, it's not. It's a school. Alcoholics Anonymous is a place that we gather to share our experience, strength, and hope. And if I haven't got the experience, I can't share the hope with you. I'll tell you a little story. I agree. I'll tell you a story. I like the little story. But I had this guy that I sponsored, and he was a pistol, this guy. He was just a good-looking young kid, and you know, he had some money and a car, and he just, you know, a real catch, girls. I'll tell you, he's something else. And he called me up and he said, man, so I was at the dance the other night. He's always going to dances. They do that, you know, dances. He says, man, I'll stand there. He said, you know, God just brought this girl to me. And I said, yeah, that's what it is. He said, man, he said, it's really just love, man. I just know we want to be together forever and ever and ever. And I said, well, God bless you and all your good works. And a couple of weeks later, he called me up and he said, God, he said, I'll tell you, man. He said, I guess something bad happened. I said, what's the matter? He said, God took that girl away from me. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, God, I'm sorry about that. He said, well, that's all right. I went to dance last night, and I was standing there outside the coffee bar, and another one came up, and God just gave me to her. I said, really? He said, yeah. A couple of weeks later, he came knocking on my door, man. He was really in a pit. I think that God had taken her away, too. And we went through this thing for about three or four of them in my house, and I looked at him, and I said, you trying to tell me God's a pimp? He looked at me, how dare you talk about God like that? I said, hey, you're the one that's telling me God's given you all these women and taken them away. Now, when I did it, they called me a pimp. He went down to a sponsor. And I guess he and his sponsor are just having God deliver on a weekly basis, for all I know. I really don't know, but that's the way I feel about it. I mean, you know, Renee said it. God damn, you can have your head tell you anything. They asked me, they said, you meditate? I said, I'm sorry, I don't do it very often. He said, why not? I said, I'm not associated with lower companions. My head ain't my friend. But one of the greatest things I've heard in the last 5 years is this. Your mind is like a bad neighborhood. You shouldn't go in there alone. Jesus. And here we are. One of the things that sent chills up down my spine to phone ring, one of them groups that I sponsored. I've been thinking about what? About my relationship. Oh. It's a fast no end this afternoon. It just, guys, I tell you a little story. I've got little stories about all this stuff, really, tell you the truth, because that's what we do here, isn't it? Share our experience, strength, and hope. It's this young lady that, I sponsor her mom and dad, you know, Bob and Gloria, and this girl had a hell of a time, and she was living on the streets in Hollywood, you know, she was doing everything there was to do out there. And she kept coming to AA once in a while and getting sober. So finally one night we were down somewhere in the desert and we had a dinner, it was near her birthday, and I told her, I said, you know what, Lisa? She said, Johnny, she said, you know, I've known you, you're like an uncle to me, and I've known you all these years, would you help me? And I said, if you do what I tell you to do, you can get sober, stay sober. And so she did, but now she's married and got a couple kids, and she's doing real well. As a matter of fact, she's even taking my youngest daughter. So anyhow, one night I'm standing at the meeting at the back there, and she's talking to this newcomer. And I just listened, you know, I mean, I didn't say anything. I just stand there like I'm paying much attention, but I was listening, and this newcomer said to me, what do you think I have to have a sponsor? Did you have a sponsor all these other times? He said, yes. She said, well, what did your sponsor do? She said, every time I got in a jackpot and got crazy before I talked to my sponsor said, go pray. Go pray about it. And she said, what happened? She said, I went and prayed. God told me to go get loaded. Which is true. You lift your head long enough, it'll tell you, I don't have to do that crap. She said, well, what's the difference between him and those other sponsors? She said, very simple. Now when I get crazy and I call him up on the phone, he gives me something to do, not something to think about. Something to do. And what do? You just get out of yourself. That's the secret here. The secret in Alcoholics Anonymous to staying sober with any degree of comfort is to get rid of you. That's the secret. It's not to think about it. Think about it. You can't think your way into right living. You've got to live your way into right thinking. There ain't nothing. It's just the action. What suggestions or actions do you give someone you're starting to sponsor? What suggestions or actions were you given when somebody started to sponsor you? That's what you do here. That's wrong. Monkey see, monkey do. You know, I offended you on that sex issue, Sheila. What should a sponsor do when a sponsee can't stay sober but keeps coming to meetings? Well, I'll tell you what I do. You first come to me and Alcoholics Anonymous, I'll give you everything you got. I'll give you my time, my effort. I'll take you everywhere I go and do everything that I do. I'll give you everything I got. But if you get drunk after this series of operations and me devoting all my time to you, the next time you come back, it's going to be under a different set of circumstances. I'm just not going to be sitting there welcoming you back like some damn conquering hero. I mean, it's the sickest thing that happens in Alcoholics Anonymous is we keep welcoming these slippers back in here like they're conquering heroes. And we ignore people who are over here fighting to stay sober on a daily basis, for Christ's sake, who are doing everything they can. We don't walk over and give them a pat on the back and make a coffee. We're so goddamn egotistical, we want everybody to love us. We just, oh, God, I'm glad you're back. Screw you. You want to stay sober, for Christ's sake? This is the deal. If you don't want to stay sober, go somewhere else and bother them. That's the way I feel about it. I'm not some psalm-singing, wonderful person who's trying to win friends and influence people and kick every bent fender who just wants to use this as a hideout to get sympathy. I've learned a lot of things since I've been sober by sponsoring people. I sponsored a guy one time who was a yo-yo. I mean, he was in and out more times than you can believe. One time I said to him, he'd 60 days out and drunk, back and forth. 90 days out and drunk, back and forth, in and out. One time I said, for Christ's sakes, why don't you just get drunk and stay drunk or stay here? Why do you keep coming in and out? He says, you really want to know? I said, yeah. He says, you know, when I come in, everybody welcomes me. They all treat me good, shake hands, pat me on the back, and tell me how good I'm doing. And then along about 60 days comes by, and nobody pays any attention to me anymore. They're walking right by me to get a hold of the newcomer down here. The newcomer walking by me to get the old guy, I feel like a whole other donut. He says, so I get out and get drunk and come back and everybody welcomes me but you. That isn't it. I don't want him to stay sober. But I mean, it's more than just showing up here. Show me. Show me that you won't stay sober. That's all. I'll do anything for an alcoholic who wants to get sober. Well, I wouldn't do anything for anybody who just wants to cool his heels here and occupy space for somebody who may want to get sober. That's a bad influence on people who are trying to stay sober around here. I'm not doing them any favors by making them conquering heroes. In the lecture, Jesus Christ, what do you people really shut up after that? Do you adjust differently to the way you deal with each sponsee? Do you believe some people's needs are different than others beyond the basics? Come on. The alcoholic? 12 steps and a program of action. Ain't no different needs there. There are only two types of alcoholics in the world, male and female. That's it. Basic needs. I don't understand that. I understand it. I know some people want to be treated more special or more kind and loving than others because they're more sensitive than some other people are. But come on, what are we supposed to do here? What is a sponsor supposed to do, for Christ's sake? The first thing you got to ask when you get ready to sponsor one of these groups is this. What do you expect me to do? Because I'm going to tell you what I expect you to do. And if you don't want to do it, that's fine. That's fine, Andy. I'm not going to browbeat you. I'm not going to be your friend. I'm not going to shun you at meetings. I'm not going to say you're a bad person. I'll just be your friend. But I will not sponsor you if you don't want to do this. I have to do it. By God, if I have to do it, so do you. And if you don't have to do it, then we'll take it for instance. The people who want these special treatments, who think they need special treatments. And so they don't have to quite do it as hard as this one. They don't have to quite make the coffee and show up so many meetings and call a sponsor. What about the guy doing it? What about the guy who's doing the deal, making the meetings, doing the job, and calling the sponsor? He gets to feel like he's being crapped on, and this one's different. It's not fair to these people. And I believe in fair. That's what I believe Alcoholics Anonymous should be, fair. And don't let any of these egotistical idiots around here who want to be all things to all people want to treat you different because they think you're special. And let the guy over here do something different. I think that's wrong. I think the greatest thing I've learned in Alcoholics Anonymous, and my sponsor today is the greatest example of how he treats people, that is fairness. All people are treated the same. That doesn't mean that all people are the same. But all the actions here are the same. The actions of Alcoholics Anonymous are the same today as they were in 1935. One alcoholic talks to another alcoholic to get them to take actions that they no longer believe in. So they'll do things that they don't think have anything to do with the status of the group. That's what the message is. And that's where sponsorship comes in. There's nothing, you know, in there. I mean, if you do anything inexpectable when you come friends and all that kind of stuff, it doesn't make you effective. It's not. I don't believe in special treatment. That's not that. That doesn't mean that I don't care for some people more than I care for others. I sponsor some people I don't even like. That's the honest to God truth. But they have to do the same thing as the people I like, and the people I like have to do the same thing as the people I don't like. See, that's fair. Personal feelings towards one another has got nothing to do with Alcoholics Anonymous. Favoritism and being different here kills people. Kills them. Because this is a deadly disease. Kills them. You've got to get that burn into your consciousness. Kills them. And if you want to be responsible for putting a gun to somebody's head, just overlook every goddamn thing they do. Say, oh, that's all right. You're different. I recognize that. You're different. I know you really need those special things here. But they don't, you know, because they're just... You just kill them. Or you just put a gun to their head. Is there such a thing as overdependence on a sponsor? And if so, what is the solution? Yep. There is such a thing as overdependence upon a sponsor. It depends on what your dependence, what you want from a sponsor. If you want too much, if you want something that the sponsor ain't got the right to give, that's overdependence. It ain't no good. But what do you want from the sponsor? I think that's a question you ought to ask. I think you ought to ask yourself, what do I expect my sponsor to do? Then I think your sponsor ought to ask you what you think your sponsor ought to do. That's what it's all about. After Norm had been dead for a year, I went down and sat in the office. Clancy and asked him a hypothetical question about a hypothetical situation from somebody else. It had nothing to do with me, understand? The hypothetical situation. And he answered the question to the hypothetical situation that I had already solved by taking that action. But he did, and as I got ready to walk out of the office that day, I turned around to him and I said, you know what, Clancy, I think I need a sponsor. And he looked at me and he put his glasses down on his nose, and I thought he was going to say, what an order, I can't go through with it. You're too much for me, hot shot, you know what I mean? Because I really believe there was nobody like Norm anyhow, you know, and Chuck was sick. And so I said to him what I had said to Norm many times. What do you want me to do? He thought for a minute and he said, why don't we start off with you calling me every day and you come to Wednesday night meeting? That's been a little over 12 years. I still call him every day and I still go to Wednesday night meeting. Guy asked me not very long ago, he said, you still call Clancy every day? And I said, yes, I do. And he said, why? Well, he hasn't told me not to yet. See? I asked him what he wanted me to do. He told me I'd do it. And Clancy and I don't have any quarrel whatsoever. Clancy treats me with a little respect and dignity, and I treat him with the same respect and dignity that you treat your sponsor. If you can't treat your sponsor with that respect and dignity, I suggest maybe you ought to get another sponsor. But above all things that you have to remember, and you have to keep it uppermost in your mind, always, that your sponsor is just a basic human being. It's all just a human being with faults and weaknesses and egotism and self-centeredness and self-wanting and self-loathing and self-edifying, all the things that you are, they are. You have to remember that. You never get any better than basic human being here in Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's what you got to remember, that your sponsor is human. One of the greatest things I ever learned about Chuck Chandler was that he was a human being. That's the honest to God truth. I don't know how many have ever been in the room. This man, presence in the room, lit up the room. You'd be sitting in this room, you walk in the room, no matter who was talking to everybody, turned around and looked, they knew he walked in the room, because he wouldn't walk in if the meeting was going on anyhow. But he knew when he walked in the room. But I used to sit in the car in the big lake and just stared at me. I almost feel like you're in the presence of God, for Christ's sake. When you walk in, men adored him, and women bowed at his feet. He was magnificent. He was charismatic. He was something, this guy. And one night we're coming back from somewhere up in Santa Maria, somewhere a long way up the road. We stopped to have something to eat. And we got out of the restaurant, we got in the car, and we're driving our car. We reached over the glove compartment over his car and pulled out a pack of Rolaids and dropped two. I said, thank God, he's got gas. I don't know what I'd have done if he'd have passed a little. I just probably would have just seen it. He would have made it. Brought him down there. It's down there. And in the years later that I knew him and was close to him, I saw his humanness. But I was not shocked by it or mad at it or disillusioned by it, because I knew he was a human being. And the last year that he lived, I sat there and watched him. That oxygen mask cut off from oxygen, and I panicked like every other human being. And when he died, I loved him more than I ever loved anything in my life, but him more, because he was human. I was frightened of him when he was perfect, and envious and jealous of him most of the time. But when he was a human being, I loved him. That's the difference. That's what you have to remember about people here, all people here, not just sponsors, but all people. And people who speak from podiums that you go see conferences and all these things, they're just basic human beings with character defects just like you have. They have wants and diswants, likes and dislikes just exactly as you do. They have moments when they're not very social. They have moments when they're not very pleasant. They have moments when they're angry and upset and distanced from God just like you are. They have moments when they doubt the very existence of everything, just like everybody else does. And if you're unlucky or unfortunate to be around them in any of these given moments, and you don't know them to be human beings just like you are, you're in for a terrible disillusionment. So that's why it becomes necessary here to develop the concept of a power greater than yourself, from which all things stem from. But the sponsors are the steers of the ship. They steer the ship. You and I just ride. Sometimes they may get sleepy and steer us the wrong way. But they have a sponsor. Their sponsor will say to them, "Hey!" That's as silly as all it is, huh? But that's basically all it is. We're following people getting all these great intellectual... God, we got some smart people killing themselves here. They're speaking themselves into oblivion. Sit around. I guess there's too goddamn much this analysis going on around here, trying to figure out, I wonder who's busy for this. I don't really know. Listen, remember, we're all human beings. I guarantee you that I'll show you my humanness from time to time. Remember me? I won't insult you anymore, Sheila. Come on, I won't take any more shots at you. I know you're big out here, Norman. I call your dad newcomer. This is a good question. When am I, or how do I know I am able to sponsor someone? Whenever they ask you. You mean, ain't that deep? You didn't think I was capable of that much deepness, did you? But that's how simple it is. I mean, you can sponsor somebody until they ask you. Okay? You know, you walk up, you want me to sponsor you? No, you creep, get away from me. I mean, it's pretty simple. Does the fear ever stop? From time to time. When there's a lack of faith, there's fear. Lack of faith. Lack of power is our dilemma. Fear sets in. When you have no faith, you have fear. And faith, my friend, whether you want to know it or not, it's not getting down on your knees and praying to God. That don't show me faith. I tell you what showed me faith. People getting up in the morning going to work. People like you and me getting out there doing it every day, and when we get through with that, come into Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, make copies, set the chairs up. To me, that's faith. That's faith in that. I mean, faith is an action. I don't believe it's something you say. I'm not saying you don't have faith if you get down and pray. I'm not saying that at all. But that is not a sign of faith. The sign of faith is to believe that you're going to be taken care of if you do these things, regardless. That little thing, the little knowledge that you get down inside of you that everything's going to be all right regardless. That's faith. That's what faith's all about. And if you get that while you're praying, fine. But just because you get down on your knees and pray to a God that you may or may not believe in does not mean you have faith. Not at all. Faith does not mean that you believe in God. Faith means that you trust God. And there is a complete difference between the two. If I asked if you had faith, most people would say, yes, but ask you how many you trust, you'd probably get a different answer. Trust. You know, you trust God. I think it's an act of faith to get on an airplane. How do you know the pilot ain't drunk? I mean, what if you give him an alcohol test? Well, look at him. Are you drinking, sir? I mean, really, how do you know? Waking up in the morning, walk across the street, it's not an act of faith. There was a little guy. Lived in the 14th century, a guy by the name of Brother Lawrence. He was a little weird dude. He became a Carmelite monk. And in those monasteries, they have different times where they have prayer all the time. Well, Brother Lawrence didn't show up at their scheduled time most of the time. And one of the heavy dudes there asked him, he said, you did not show up at prayer time. And Brother Lawrence said to him, I didn't know there was a time for prayer. I just thought you prayed all the time. How do you know when you're in prayer and when you're not? Maybe prayer would be the absence of thought, a selfish thing. Maybe that's what prayer would be. Maybe, huh? It's a good enough answer for me. Prayer to me would be the absence of thought or selfish things. That probably be my answer for prayer. Be my answer to prayer, probably. Of course,
theologian. Do you think you can outgrow a sponsor? If so, how do you tell him your current? How do you tell your current sponsor? Well, Fon, I just want you to know that I just sort of love you spiritually. I'm sorry, but if you ever need help, call me. That's what I can tell you. Hell, I don't know my number, huh? But I'm just cowardly enough not to tell it. That's how you can tell it. But we'll all do that. I'll tell you, I guarantee you, if a person in this room has a sponsor, they'll want from time to time I'm gone. Yeah. That's just the way it is. That's human, isn't it? That's human egotism. No, like what you told me, Shorty. My God, I'm... What do you think about that, Sheila? Sure, okay. What do you think about that? Oh, that's the answer I wanted in the first place. That's why people have. You hear people say, I have three or four people I talk to. That's right. You get the right answer you want sooner or later, there, pal. You keep going around and say, sooner or later, one of them will just want to kill you bad enough to say, oh, sure, that's fine. Not me. I got one voice. One voice is louder than mine, and that's one of you. One voice. One voice. Louder in my head. That's the voice I use. It's not my girlfriend's voice. It's not my children's voice. It's not the people I sponsor's voice. It's not the thing out of the book. It's me. It's my sponsor. That's the one voice. I use it to ponder my head. That's the thing I just really couldn't do. If your sponsor refuses to step forth, is it time to fire them? This is after working with them 1 year. I think a change is imminent there somewhere. I mean, what did I say a sponsor is supposed to do? Aren't you supposed to take it to the steps? You don't want to do the steps. I don't know what the hell we can do for you. I mean, we're not treatment centers. We don't have a detox corner around here somewhere. We don't check your insurance policies here. I mean, we're here to help you build a life where you can live without drinking. And if you don't want to do what we do, then I can help you. I'm sorry. I mean, if you want to. If we have a rule. I don't know how hard fast it is anymore, but I have a rule that I live with, that if you don't have your four steps taken by the first year, I won't give you a case. And I just help you, and I sponsor you. After we do a third step prayer, which is a matter of minutes, maybe, you're starting on the inventory. But when do you want me to finish it? I'll tell you. When he's not, I'll walk up to the young leaders, he'll be in my house tomorrow night, he's going to do the fifth step. He said, when will I see you? And I said, I'll tell you at the meeting when it's time. That keeps him on edge. Okay, and I walk up to him from time to time, say, you rising? He said, well, I haven't got started yet, man. He said, well, it's time. You got an off night tomorrow night. Oh, shit. I said, I believe in it. What do you want to go over somebody for? First, if you want what we have, for Christ's sake, then do it. If you don't want what we do, don't bother us. I mean, God doesn't have to be off the idiots out there that just love you to death. You don't have to do that. After they even die, I've had a sponsor, that works out there, I'm sad, look at them! It's not even miserable. Jesus. But the penitentiaries are full of them. That is rude, huh? What should a person do if he and his sponsor see different things?
Have a lot of difference. Or if the sponsee thinks he's being pulled too hard. Oh, God. God, you people are cruel and normal. I mean, you drag these poor people, trying to help them save their lives. And they're just so worried about such a tough time that they're having. I mean, God, what do you ask them to do? Pick up their chair? Show up at a meeting or two? Answer the damn telephone? He must be pulled too hard. But be pulled too hard. It's life, isn't it? You want your life saved, don't you? I know what I do. Sorry. I'll be your friend, pal. But obviously, you and I got something mixed up here. You seem to think that I'm sponsoring you and you're being sponsored. But that is a total illusion. If you have different opinions than I do, about this deal and how to do it, I am not sponsoring you. I'm just your friend, and maybe you better have somebody else sponsor you that has the same opinion as you. But it's more important for you to have this run-of-the-mill thing than it is for me and you to sit here with difference of opinion. That's the way I feel about it. I pray that God can give a chance to go do something. I want what my sponsor has, but find it hard to make commitments. How can I do this? It seems so hard. Hard to make commitments. What do you mean hard to make a commitment? I mean, what's hard about doing what you say you're going to do? That's what a commitment is. The commitment is doing what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it. That's what a commitment is. You know what? You're going to go to the meeting each year, okay? It's hard not to go. It's hard not to do what you say you're going to do. Is that tough? I mean, come on, I don't understand it. I really don't understand this type of thinking. But yet I do understand it. Obviously, some of these people's lives really aren't hanging in the balance here. Obviously, to me, from some of these letters and some of these questions that are being asked, Alcoholics Anonymous is, in your life, and staying sober is not the core of your being. Obvious to me that it's not the number one thing in your life to stay sober. Obvious. It's obvious to me. But just put the questions that I've read here. Alcoholics Anonymous to me is the core of my being. The core of it. It's not job, home, AA, and church. AA, everything I have stems from Alcoholics Anonymous. My home life, if I have one. Church, if I go to it. My job, if I have one. My love life, my affluent life, whatever I have stems from my very being of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's not just some little thing. I don't understand this. What the hell do people ask you to do here? Come here and take a part in your own goddamn lives? I mean, you know that. Come on. What ask you? I mean, you know, what ask you to do? Oh, go to rob a bank and bring us the goddamn money? All they ask you is don't drink and come and do these simple things that the little people have to do. I think that's asinine. I find a commitment. I know people who find commitments real hard to make, and they fall in one of two categories. They're on the way to getting drunk, or they're not alcoholic. Heavy drinkers don't have to make commitments. People who have drinking problems do not have to make commitments. All they have to do is quit drinking. Alcoholics have to make commitments and give of themselves and turn their lives around, or they die drunk. Heavy drinkers and non-alcoholics don't. And there is a difference. Our book says, heavy drinkers can quit drinking giving any reasonable excuse. But alcoholics of our type, of my type, need to have some type of a psychic change. You want to have dinner time? Yeah, like I said, I'm going to open with one hand and drink it. What do you think about people that wear hats, get up in meetings, and don't dress for the podium? I don't think they have to have any respect for A at all if they don't want to. I really don't give them a hell of a lot of thought. But I don't sponsor them either. Can a sponsor ever cross a line and be involved emotionally in a sponsee's life? Yeah, possibly. Not a good thing, but it happens. Yeah, back to the same thing. You're just human. Human being. You know, is living again a spiritual awakening? You mean you were dead once? Let me tell you what a spiritual awakening, I think a spiritual awakening is. I think it's the spirit being awakened within us. You know that little thing that kept driving you crazy out there looking for the answer, that alcohol seemed to put at rest from time to time? It's a spirit unrest. An unrest spirit. Most of us get here, practically drowned that spirit, or killed it. And I believe that when we do these things, inventories that nobody seems to think necessary, and take the action that our first nine steps of recovery says we must take. I believe that is what's known as a spiritual awakening. I don't believe it's a zone. I believe it's a spirit slowly awakening from a long slumber. That's the glow that comes from within. The glow that you see people have who just seem to be alive, Alcoholics Anonymous, who seem to be a little lighter in their steps a little. That's what a spiritual awakening is. Spiritual awakening, not all of a sudden turn around and dance against God sitting on the mountain. Here I am. The spirit is awakening. The spirit has always been there. Somehow or other, we've damned or destroyed it through our selfishness and our search for the answer. And once we found the answer and found out what was wrong with this and the solution to treat this madness that is ours, we can begin to uncover the layers of things that keep our spirit in bondage, and so our spirit will be able to soar. And so we become free to indeed. It's an amazing thing. Spiritual awakening. What do? If you take your situation to your sponsor and he doesn't give you an answer? God, it's hard for me to say. I don't know. If I take it to him and he doesn't, it's not an answer, basically. It's a set of actions to take that I must get. My sponsor does not give me answers. My sponsor gives me things to do. That's what I do not sit down and psychoanalyze you. These are hypothetical bullshit or some of this other stuff that goes on around here in some of these discussions. I give you things to do. Any good sponsor would give you action to take. How are we doing, Sheila, for time? I mean, it's your show. I'm just a puppet. Not really. Huh? How many? You shouldn't hold your fingers up in front of Scott. I can't see. Okay, that's better. Yep. Yeah. You know I could do that one-handed. How long should a person have a temporary sponsor before finding a permanent one? I believe that. I don't know about temporary sponsorship. I have never had it. I think the beginning that we all want our sponsors to be temporary until we outgrow them. You know what I mean? That's what I think. I mean, you know, if you're lucky like me, I'm a very lucky man. I've only had two, and if Norma's still alive, he'd still be my sponsor. I mean, that's just the way it is. I got one source of information. Even though I thought I had a couple times, I never really did get beyond him because he's always out there leading the pack. I mean, so I really didn't need him. And Clancy's the same way. I can't, for the life of me, I didn't say to Clancy when I asked him that day, will you temporarily be my sponsor? It's like I find somebody better than you. You can imagine what he'd have said then. That's a good question. I heard a guy gave his phone number to newcomers and say, I'm willing to be your temporary sponsor. What is a temporary sponsor? I think, I don't want to interpret what the guy was saying or what you heard, but I think, you know, I'm willing to temporarily take you to meetings and sponsor you around here and take you to do things for you and temporarily listen to your bullshit until you find somebody listen, you know, that you really want to dump it on. You know what I mean? I think the guy that does that can give his phone number to newcomers and say, you know, I'm willing to do anything. I think that my hat's off to you. I think that's a neat thing. You know, I walk around. I have a little thing that I do when I feel a little bad in my meeting. I walk around try to find a couple of newcomers and say, you know, my name is Johnny. What's yours? You have a sponsor around here. You come to meeting very often. You live in this area. If you have to just give me the directory, I'll write out some of the meetings that we attend around here that some of these people go to. And that could be classified as a temporary sponsorship. You know, if you really want to take it and put a label on it. You know what I mean? I hate labels. But you understand what I'm saying? It's just, the guy who said it, I'd be willing to say that the guy who said, I'm willing to be a temporary sponsor, meant nothing about that statement whatsoever, other than the fact that he was willing to help a newcomer. And man, I'd take my hat off to that guy. You know, I would not misinterpret that at all. You know, I would say, yeah, right on, dude. You know what I mean? If you can't handle it, get my phone number, call me, I'll take him. Instead of sitting around and trying to figure out what he's doing wrong, I try to help him. You know, here's my phone number. If you can't get this newcomer calling you and you can't make it, get him my phone number, I'll take him with me. But that's what temporary sponsorship is. I don't know. But you know, let's remember what it is, man. You got human beings working with human beings. And my sponsor, Norm, said this to me, that in Alcoholics Anonymous, we share our experience, strength, and hope with each other. Without experience, there is no strength. and without strength, there is no hope. And so I would say to you, the sponsorship has been from Abby to Bill, and from Bill to Dr. Bob, and right up on the line to you and I. It's always been here. It will always be here as long as there's one alcoholic trying to help another alcoholic. The sponsees have different names. Some places they're called pigeons. Sometimes they're called babies. They were called babies in the early days in California because they were wet and we tried to get them dry. They're called pigeons back in the East because you know what pigeons do? They sit on your shoulder and shit on you and say, said that. The sponsorship is a very intricate part of our life. In the last maybe 20 years, it's taken on an even more significant role than it did in maybe the first 30 or 40. A lot of people came to Alcoholics Anonymous prior to 25 or 30 years ago with their brains kicked out and maybe a complete state of surrender. Chuck Chamberlain was like that. And although he claimed never to have a sponsor and never to have sponsored anybody except Clancy, that's the only guy Chuck Chamberlain ever claimed to sponsor. So don't let any of these other people tell you Chuck was a sponsor, because he wasn't. The only guy he ever claimed to sponsor was Clancy Emerson, and he didn't understand Clancy either. So he said, Clancy called me a sponsor, so I'm a sponsor. But Chuck always had somebody to talk to. I know the people he talked to. I got to meet him. I got to sit with him, and I got to hear him ask some questions. And so it's always been. So sponsorship isn't anything more than me sharing my experience, strength, and hope with you, one with another, in this thing called love, to get you to try to do something that you don't even believe in, which will eventually save your life, even though you don't think so. It will get you to lift off the fog of blindness and misunderstanding and misinterpretation of years and years and years of meaningless crap that's went through your life about what life is all supposed to be, and allow you to lift the veil and see the sunshine. And you do that not because you sit around in deep thought and meditation and read about it and study about it and drop on your knees and pray about it and think about it. You do it by just getting up off your butt, walk across the room, shaking your hand and say, hi, my name's Johnny, I'm an alcoholic. What's yours? Are you new here? Well, yes, I am. Good. You know, we go to meetings around here all the time. Would you like to go to meetings? Come on, pick him, take him, all right, I'm going. No thanks, got a car, tell me where the meeting is. Fine, you need me, here's my phone number. That's all Alcoholics Anonymous is. That's all sponsorship is. And if you are attractive enough to this person and you have something this person wants, they will be drawn to you like flies to honey. You can't keep them away from you. You don't have to worry about sponsored people. The book says, very simply, you can't transmit something you ain't got. You can't. Another thing that a sponsor cannot do, a sponsor can't take you someplace they ain't been. They can't do that. A sponsor can't take you through the steps if they ain't been there, under no circumstances. A sponsor cannot tell you what it's like to live sober and busy and Alcoholics Anonymous if they ain't. Can't do that. If you don't believe that, go down here to the first gas station you see, get on the telephone, and call Oklahoma State University at Stillwater, Oklahoma, and tell them that you want to come down there. And if they ask you, where are you, you can say, I don't know, but I'd like to come to Stillwater, Oklahoma. They're going to ask you again, well, where you are. You can't say, I don't know. What they want to know is where you're at, so you have a starting point, so you can get to Stillwater, Oklahoma. That's what the initial contact is with. That's what sponsors ask you, where are you? Where are you? You got to say, man, I'm here and I can't stand. I want to do something about it. Okay, this is what we do. Come on. Let's go. Come on. Let's go. That's what sponsorship is. There's nothing anymore. There's nothing in that. It's a bunch of fallible, weak human beings helping fallible, weak human beings do things they can't do. Is that simple? Nobody knows where they're going here, but we all seem to get there. Thank you.